Begin the current daf, Masechtas Melachim, daf Pei Hei. Begin 6 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of our previous Mishnah, continuing on the theme regarding things that are not appropriate now to be on the altar, but if it went up, we're not going to take it down. So Amma Ula Ula says a teaching which we brought in the previous daf and daf Pei Gimel, a muri kachim kalim, regarding the sacrificial parts from a lower level carbon, like let's say a shlamim, shehelen lefnei zrikas daman, which was placed up on top of the mizbeach before the blood of the carbon was thrown, which at that point, it's not really what we would call SRO. Like we said, the mizbeach, the Mekadosh, opening up this parak, that which is fit for it, it's not really verified for the mizbeach yet, because it's only the throwing of the blood that establishes that the sacrificial parts, which are certain types of fats, are for Hashem's part that are going to be on the mizbeach. For example, like the halachas of me'ilah, which are misappropriation from things that from Hashem, from Hekdash, is only on kachim kalim after the blood of the carbon is thrown, after the zrika. Like, for example, in contrast by kachim, where from its beginning, from when it was sanctified, it already has a designated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the imurim already then have the halacha of me'ilah. It's already standing to be Hashem's. However, by kachim kalim, there is no me'ilah, even by the imurim, which are ultimately going to be Hashem's part, only after the blood is thrown. So that says ulam. So these imurim are not yet really fit to be on the mizbeach yet, to be burnt on the fires, because the blood wasn't thrown yet. However, in spite of that, says Ula, if the emurim of the kachim kalim were put on before the blood was thrown, lo yeridu, it does not come down. Why not? Nasu lachmish al mizbeach, it becomes the bread of the mizbeach, meaning, ultimately, this is going to be something that's fit. There's nothing lacking in the emurim themselves. It's just waiting for a precursor that you have to have with the zrikas damim. But therefore, that's not an invalidating factor. In other words, although it's not fit yet, you're not going to have to take it down. Now, Amrav Zeri says, Avana namatunina. We also learned like this in a brice that we quoted in the previous daf regarding things, like on the topic of our Mishnah, that am olulo yerd. If they went up, they're not going to come down. What are these items? Shenishbach dama, which, as Shita Mekubetz explains, really the conclusion of this discussion is going to be even according to Rabbi Yehuda, but this is going like in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that we quoted in the previous daf, which says that if the blood of the carbon spilled out, still if the meat of the carbon, which is like an oila that has to be burnt on the altar, was put up, although it's really possible because the blood wasn't thrown, if it went up, it's not going to be taken down, that meat. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now, by bringing a right from this Braisa, is that we're talking about any part of the animal that's supposed to be on top of the Mizbeach, including, not just like the limbs of an oila, which is Kadji Kachim, but even the Emurim, which are the sacrificial parts, certain fats, of Kachim Kalim, it's also talking about. Meaning, any element of a carbon that's supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach, on the Tab, you have to first throw the blood. But let's say the blood spilled out, says the Braisa, even so, im alu lo yerdu. So to another halacha was v'shiyatza dama chutz l'klayim, if the blood went out of the klayim, out of the curtains, which again, the blood's not valid. So if you can't use the blood, the whole carbon is not valid. But even so, the meat of the carbon, or the emurim that are on the top, you're not going to take it down. So says the Gemara, ma hasam. Now, says the Gemara, let's make a kav v'chayma. If over there in the case of that brisa where the blood spilled out, or if it went out of the curtains and the blood is totally invalid, even so, the meat that went up on top of the mizbeach before the blood was thrown, meaning, of course, it's before the blood was thrown because there's no throwing of the blood because the blood spilled out. In other words, it's even worse than our case that we're discussing in Ula, where it's before the blood was thrown, where, at least over there, if you want to throw the blood, you ultimately have the blood. You just didn't throw it, did you? Could throw it. In the case over here in this Braisa, the imbo lizrik, inlay lizrik, if you want to throw the blood, you cannot even. The blood either spilled out or became invalidated by going out of the curtains. And still, Amridim Allah Yerdu, still you say in the Braisa, that if it went up, whatever parts of that carbon, you're not going to take it down. So therefore, says the Gemara, so Hach will be here in the case of Ula, where the blood didn't even spill out. The Imbal Lizrik Zark, if you want to spray it, you can still spray it. Like Koshkin, isn't a Kavuchaymer that for sure in that case, we're not going to say Yerdu. Because even when it spills out, we say lo yerdu. Here, we didn't spill out, you just didn't spray yet. Of course, we're not going to say yerdu. And therefore, that supports the opinion of Ula. Says Gemara, no. Tirgema, interpret this brisa that we just quoted. Akachi kodshin. When did we say that if the blood spilled out or if it got invalidated, that the parts of the carbon, you're not going to take it down? That's talking about specifically the parts of a carbon of kachi kodshin, where its physical sanctity is even before the blood was thrown, like we mentioned before. Kachem Kalam doesn't have any part of its physical sanctity unless the blood is first thrown, including its amurmit sacrificial parts. Kachem Kachem, however, the moment you sanctify your oilo or chatas, automatically the parts are already Hashem's, even if the blood is thrown. That's what we said. Okay, so the meat is already Hashem's, so although the carbon's pasukers didn't throw the blood, but it's still Hashem's, and therefore it's lachem Hashem Mizbech, and that's why you're not going to take it down. It doesn't support Ula's teaching regarding the amurim of Kachem Kalim. There, if the blood wasn't thrown, even if you still could, maybe we would say, Yerdu. But that continues asking the Gemara, Bahra Hare Pesach, but the end of that braisa that we quoted in the previous daf continues mentioning things regarding the Imolula Yerdu, and it says, the Karm Pesach and the Karm Chatas. Now, although it mentions there regarding them being Shalei Lishma, the Gemara at this point assumes that it's talking about regarding any invalidation of the Pesach and Chatas, meaning regarding that we mentioned before, even the cases of, let's say, if the blood spills out or if the blood left the perimeter where it's allowed to be, that even there, by Pesach and Chatas, so specifically the Pesach, that if the parts of the carbon that have to be burnt on Tamas Bech went up, you're not going to take it down. The Kachem Kalam Hu, Pesach is a lower level carbon. That's a Kachem Kalam. And yet still you see, we say this halacha, that im olu lo yerdu, if the blood spilled out, so if you say it on the Kachem Kalam, if you can't even spray the blood anymore because it spilled out, im olu lo yerdu, for sure when you didn't spill out, you just didn't throw it yet, for sure, like Ula's halacha, you're going to say im olu lo yerdu. And that says the Gemara, no, Tirgama b'shalei lishman. Interpret that the halacha that it mentions there at the end of the Braisa regarding the Pesach and the Chatas, that im olu lo yerdu, it's not going on all the invalidations that it mentioned before, like a Nishbach Dama. No, regarding that case, we'll say not like Ula, if the blood spilled out, you will take it down. Rather, it was going the case that when it was slaughtered, shalei lishma. Regarding veer, that's a different type of an invalidation. That will say im olu lo yerdu. But regarding if the blood was never thrown, where, let's say, it's l'kaidim zriko, or if the blood spilled out, no, then we wouldn't say that halacha, because actually, how are you going to keep it up on top? You can't keep it up on top. It was never sanctified, doesn't never have the halacha of me'ilah, because the me'ilah, which then it becomes Hashem, is only when the blood is thrown. If the blood is not thrown, well, or it's never going to be thrown, and even if it will be, but if it didn't throw yet, then we could say, nalakulul halacha, we actually would say, yerdu. It's only over there, regarding when we slaughtered shalei lishma, that was the one invalidating factor. So though it's possible, but if the blood is thrown, then you'll say, im olu lo yerdu on the Pesach, but not if the blood wasn't thrown. So the Gemara says, okay, that wasn't a support for Ula. Let's bring a ride to Ula from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, when we quoted on the previous daf, it was a little ambiguous what the Mishnah was saying. The Mishnah said, v'kulon sha'olu chayin legabi mizbeach, regarding all of them, doesn't say what them is, that went up alive, and the animal is still alive, went up on top of the Mizbech, yerdu, they have to come down. Now, the assumption of the Gemara at this point is, when it says all of them, it's referring to all types of kachem, all types of karbanas, and specifically valid karbanas, meaning not on, because seemingly it's going on the beginning of what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah is concluding, and all of them, what's all of them? What was the Mishnah speaking about up until then? In this parak, we're talking about things that are invalid. We just decide, even though it's invalid, but do you say im olu yerdu, or do you say im olu lo yerdu? And that's what the Gemara is saying, that it cannot be going on the cases that were pasul. Because regarding them, you don't have any cases of the pasul that's still alive. Because all the invalidations that are mentioned in our Mishnah, that im olu lo yerdu, that if they went up, you're not going to take them down, none of their psulim are when it's still alive. It's only when it was slaughtered a certain way, when something happened to the blood, those are all after it's already dead. So therefore, the Gemara at this point is assuming that this halacha of the Mishnah is talking about a kosher type of a carbon. And what does it mean, kulon? It's coming to say, all types of karbanas. Kulon, all types of kosher karbanas, if you brought it up when it's still alive, im alu, then yerdu. So what's all of them? Seemingly it's referring to kachem kachem and kachem kalam. That the inference is, if it was alive, then im alu yerdu. Hashchutin, lo yerdu, because in other words, when it's alive, even though it's nothing wrong with the carbon, but it cannot sanctify, like we'll see in the next Mishnah, if it's something that's not appropriate for the Mizbech, then you take it down. A live animal, there's nothing to do with it, on top of Mizbech, then you take it down. But hashchutin lo yerdu, but the inference that the Mishnah is telling us, for all these cases, kachem kalam and kachem kachem, if it went up alive, then you take it down, but if we're slaughtered, the inference is, then lo yerdu, you're not going to take it down. And in other words, and it cannot be referring after the blood was already thrown, because then why would you think that you would take it down? The blood was already thrown, it's already considered Hashem's, because even Kachem Kalam is already Hashem's. It must be the Chiddush that the Mishnah is teaching, is that if we're slaughtered, we're not going to take it down, even if the blood wasn't thrown yet. My love, so isn't it teaching us loishna kachim kachim, loishna kachim kalim? Like we said, that Bakulin is going on all the cases, including kachim kalim. And we're talking about the kosher kabbanis. This is exactly Ula's case. Seemingly, our Mishnah supports him. When you have a murim, let's say, of kachim kalim, or whatever part of a carbon, whether kachim kachim, kachim kalim, and it was slaughtered, but the blood wasn't thrown yet, that you're going to say on the kosher carpet, emalum loyer, you're not going to take it down. You'll end up throwing the blood, but it's already lach mesham mizbech. Says Gemara loy, no. Don't say the inference that, oh, if we're slaughtered, that then all of them will not come down. Meaning, because we're saying, when we're saying kulam, what's kulam? We're talking about kosher, it can't be the psulim, because psulim are not alive. So when we're talking about the live ones, all of them you take down. We mean all types of kabbanas, kachem, 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 kal. So we were saying the inference is, but shchutin, all of them, you will that you're not going to take down, which then supports Ula's halacha. Says the Gemara, no. Don't make the inference, but when it's slaughtered, that all of them you're not going to take down. Rather say, hashchutin, you're right. Shchutin is different, but not in the absolute, the way when it's alive. If it's slaughtered, mehen yerdu, mehen lo yerdu. Some will come down, some will not come down. Meaning the kachi kachim will not come down, because that was already Hashem's always, even before the blood is thrown. But shakachim kalim, because the blood was not thrown, actually will come down. So don't say an absolute term. Yeah, it's different than chayin, but not in an absolute way that they all don't come down. No, kachim kalim will come down. But in that it's the Gemara, but v'hakulim ketani. But it says all of them. In other words, therefore, doesn't it make sense that the inference of shchutin lo yerdu is also going on them, whatever the kulon was, which was kachim kachim and kachim kalim? Says the Gemara, no, kulam achayim. When it says in the Mishnah, all of them, was going on the explicit law of the Mishnah. We were saying that if it's alive, it's going to come down, because the Mizbeach does not sanctify something that's alive. But it's not teaching regarding the inference of shchutin that it's in absolute terms. No, there are some will come down, some will not come down. But in that asked Gemara, but Pshita, but that's obvious that when they're alive, that they're all going to come down. Because you're telling me it's talking about kosher animals, that there was no invalidation by them. We're not talking about the psulim. Psulim can't be a case of alive. So when they're slaughtered, of course the halacha is going to be that, meaning if regarding the explicit law that you tell me that Kulin's coming to say, of course they're all going to come down and then be brought back up only after it's slaughtered, because why shouldn't we take it down? It's alive. We don't do the avodah on top of the mizbeach. So says the Gemara, no, la'olam achayin. Truth is, like we're saying, that the term bekulan is going on when it's alive. And it's like, but then we had the question, if it's going on all of them, what's all of them? All of them, kachem, 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 kalem? So what's, if that's the primary halacha, not the inferential halacha, because then that would sound like kulan is going on shchut, and that would support ula, and you don't want to support ula. So it's going on the halacha of when they're alive that you take them down. Of course, why wouldn't you take it down? Take it down, slaughter, and bring it back up. We don't do the avodah on top of the mizbeach. We don't slaughter on top of the mizbeach. So says the Gemara, no, a different answer. It is going on when they're alive, and kulam doesn't mean kachim, 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 kalam. It means the ksherim and pesulim. But that the question, and it's coming to teach us that it will come down, even though it's pesulim, which is going to have ramifications. Because ksherim said, yeah, why wouldn't you take it down? You could take it right back up. The thing is, only by psulim, a lot of times we say, no, layerdu, don't take it down, because you're not going to be able to put it back up. But then the question was, where do we have a case of a living animal that has one of the psulim to say that that's included in mekulam, that that's also going to be taken down when it's still alive? Didn't we say all the halachas of the Mishnah are only when they were already slaughtered? Says the Gemara, ubedukin sheba'ayin, because we're talking about the chiddush of saying that all of them, including not only ksherim, but also psulim, will be taken down when it's alive, is referring to when it has a cataract in its eye, which is an invalidation even when it's alive. And when you take it down, you're not going to be able to take it back up. And that's the chiddush in the halacha that we're coming to say, that v'kulon, when they're chayin, you're going to take it down. Now, the reason that we know that you're not going to be able to put it back up is like the Gemara said previously, pedal manaf regarding the psulin, like we said in the Mishnah, just like what's alu is lo yerdu, even though you weren't supposed to put up, but when you did, you don't take it down. Kachem yerdu layalu. If you did end up taking it down, even though you wouldn't have to, but then you're not going to be able to bring it back up. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. But kulon, not only the kshem, but even the psulin. What's the case of psulin? This case of dukin shabain. Even so, you're going to take it down because the mizbeach, the altar, does not sanctify something that's alive. So though seemingly, okay, let's keep it up here like all those other psulim, because you're not going to be able to bring it back up afterwards. No, it's alive and you take it down. And it's going according to Rebbe Kiva. Dama that he said in our Mishnah, he disagreed with the last case of Bali Mumin regarding if it has a blemish. Dama that he said, and we explained this halacha, that it was referring to the halacha of Dukin Shaba'ayin, im olu lo yerdu. He says that if it went up, that then it doesn't come down. That's if it was slaughtered. And that's what the Mishnah tells us, that if it went up alive, it will come down. But ein echanami, the inference regarding shchutin that's going on kulon, you're right, you wouldn't take it down. Not the kosher ones, of course. And not even the pasul one. Which pasul one? Which one's not going to come down? This halach of Dukut Shaba'ayin. Because Rabbi Kiva holds, if it was slaughtered, yeah, then it becomes lach masham mezbeach. He holds lo yerdu. But what's the case that if it's alive, then you do have to take it down? Because it's alive, the mezbeach is not mekadosh it. And therefore, that's what it means of a kulon. It means the ksherin and the psulon. And if it doesn't support ula regarding, as we thought, that Bakula means kachim, kachim, kachim kalam. It's not referring to kachim kalam, maybe kachim kalam before the zrikas damim, then if the murmu put on top, you would take it down. Here the Bakulan is referring to the besulan, which is the halach of Dukin Shabbayin according to Rabbi Kiva, that although generally that's something that would be lo yerdu, when it's alive, it would be yerdu. And that is the Gemara. So b'mayi kimta, how are you explaining the halacha of when the animal is alive and was put on top of mizbeach, that you can take it down? So you just answered, the besulan. The Bakulon means to say all of them, meaning even those that have an invalidation. So, and that's what Bakulon comes to refer to, all of them, not only a live kosher animal, where of course you take it down, but even a one that has an invalidation. And that says the Gemara Emes Sefer. But look at the next case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah then said, another ambiguous statement, said, V'chein oyla she'olse chayla reishim izbech, teret sotu a carbon oyla, that if it went up alive on top of the izbech, you take it down. Meaning, even though it's ultimately going to all be brought up there, because none of the oil is eaten, it's all burnt on top, still, if it's brought up alive, you take it down. Said the Mishnah, Shach the Bereshim is bad, but let's say it was slaughtered on the top of the altar, then Yavshet v'yinatach b'mkayma, then you skin it, and you cut up it to pieces there in its place on top of the Mizbech, and then you just burn it all there on the Mizbech. And that is the Gemara, but v'ipsula, but if you're already qualifying the Talacha the Mishnah was discussing, regarding being brought up alive, regarding those that have invalidating factors, so bas hefshet v'nituachi. So the next case when it talks about the ayla, and it's similarly also the same type of a case, it's talking about apostle ayla, that you're gonna skin it and cut it into pieces. But v'nitach isam rachman, the Torah says when it talks about the halach of the carbon ayla to cut it up into pieces, it says cut it up. What's it as exclusionary term? Isa it is kasher v'lay basula. The drasha tells us only if it's a valid ayla do you skin it and cut it up, and not if it's invalid. Where if let's say it became invalid before it was skinned, then you actually burn it with its skin. Say also on the top of the altar, although you're right, the halacha is going to be that you don't take it down because the mizbeach was sanctified because it's kachet kachim, and kachet kachim meats are always kodesh l'Hashem, always from the beginning, so it's always lach mashem mizbeach, but still, how could you understand the halacha of the Mishnah that to skin it and cut it into pieces on top of mizbeach, you don't skin and you don't cut it into pieces if it's a pasul karban ayla, because if a nitach isa, it's only if it's kosher do you skin it, and not if it's pasul, and you're saying the Mishnah is talking about the cases that it came up when it was pasul. Says the Gemara, no, Seifa, Asan, L'Ksher. The next sentences in the Mishnah that we just quoted are talking about when it was a kosher animal. And this is what the Mishnah was saying. So too, an Oila that's alive, that's kosher that went up, you'll also take it down. So that's the Gemara, so then the Maikamash Malan. So then what is the Mishnah teaching us? What's the novelty, what's the Chiddush when it's saying that you take it down? Obviously you're going to take it down, because you're going to be able to just take it right back up. It's a kosher Oila. So of course you don't do the Avoid on the top. Oh, that says the Gemara, what it's teaching us is, actually not for that, but it's like an introduction to the next line of the Mishnah. It's coming to tell us, but if let's say the Eilo, although we said you should take it down, but if it was slaughtered on top of the Mizbeach, then you don't have to take it down and bring it back up. Because although you could then simply just bring it back up, that's what the Mishnah is saying, but if it was slaughtered already on the top, then you will skin it on the top of the Mizbeach. That it's teaching us the yesh hefshet, that there is a valid way of skinning it, v'nituach b'reish mezbeach, and cutting up a piece on top of the mezbeach, because anyways you're going to bring it right back up. So once it was slaughtered over there, that's the primary, not the first part about that you take it down. Of course you take it down, because you don't do shchit on top of mezbeach, you're supposed to do it on the bottom. And it's a kosher animal, you'll be able to bring it right back up. But if you did, but the primary thing is the next part. But if you did already, then you're going to keep it there, and you're just going to skin it and cut up on top of mezbeach. But it's nothing to do with the previous halacha, which was talking about, Bakulam was referring to Psulan, and here it's to Mak Sharon. On that, the Gemara asks, that's only good according to the one who holds, like we just answered, that you're allowed to do the skinning and the cutting of the animal on the top of the Mizbeach. But according to the one who holds, that if you're saying, like the case is talking about, a kosher oila, there is an opinion that holds that you're not allowed to do the skinning and the cutting of the animal on the top of the Mizbeach, even if you already slaughtered on the top. Because since you could take it down and bring it right back up, it's not appropriate to do the skinning on top of the Mizbeach. That's not what we do over there, just like we don't do shchit over there. According to that interpretation, and you're saying we're talking about a kosher oila, so Michael, what are you going to say? If it's talking about psula, so we can understand why he skinned it, because we have to do the avodah that you can take it down and not be able to bring it back up. But if you're saying it's talking about kshera, there is an opinion that you don't do the skinning on the top, then how are you going to understand the halacha of the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, hachmei skin, and you're right, according to that opinion, what we would say that we're talking about over here in the Mishnah is that it's like we're saying, that you brought up a kosher oila that's still alive, and it was slaughtered on the top of the Mizbeach, and the blood was already thrown. And only then it became pasul. That is why you're going to skin it and cut it up in its place. Because here it's different. Even according to that opinion that you usually don't do it on the top, that's only if it's kosher. Here, if you're going to take it down, since it already became pasul, albeit after the Zrugat Adam, you're not going to be able to take it back up. Now, but then the question was, if you're talking about a psula, we originally said that you can't say that because then you're not going to do any skinning at all, because it says, v'nitach oisa, you only skin it and cut it up when it's kosher. Says the Gemara, what we're talking about over here is, k'gon shehoisu lo shasa kosher, like we just explained the case, there was a moment of validity for skinning it, because after the blood was thrown, it wasn't yet pasul yet. At that moment, it was kosher to be skinned, and then v'nifsula, then it became invalidated. So it was an animal that was appropriate to be skinned and to be cut up. So even if ultimately it's on the bottom and the meat became pasul and you're going to have to burn it, still the halach is going to be that it's skinned. Because Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Hidama, that he says is brought later on, Perek Tvul Yom Dav Kof Dalamad Aleph, he says this idea. Kimin shenizrak adam, once the blood is thrown, v'hurtza basa sha'achas, and there was a moment of validity, of opportunity for the meat for one moment to have it burnt on the Mizbech, because that's what happens. The oila, you throw the blood, oh, now it's ready, you burn it on the Mizbech. And then, before they got a chance to burn it on the Mizbech, it became invalid. The halacha says he is yafshetena. You will skin it. What I mean, didn't we say, benitach oisel and salcha, it was only when it's kosher, not pasul? But here it's different because it had a shas hakoich, it had a moment of being. So it really was something that was eligible for being skinned, because it wasn't a pasul at the time of when it was after the zrika. Then you will skin it. And va'ayr lekahanim. The skin will go to the kahanim. In other words, although we're going to end up burning the meat, but the skin will not be burnt with it. And therefore here also, when it's on the top of the mizbeach, and since it's already on top of the mizbeach, we're going to say lo yerdu, it's going to get burnt. But you have to go ahead and skin it and cut it up. And then the hide will go to the kanim, like every carbon oil, like it says, the hide of the oil goes to the kanim. So although it became pasul, but still you'll have the skinning because it had a shasa kasher, because the zrika was already before it became pasul. So on that, the Gemara continues and asks a different question. But then this that we learned in the Braisa Masechta Zvachim, that teaches regarding this case that we're discussing in our Mishnah, regarding the carbon oil that went up on top of the Mizbeach when it was alive, and then it was slaughtered. So that we said in our Mishnah, Yafshid v'natach b'mkayma. The Mishnah said the words that you'll skin it and you'll cut up in its place, meaning on top of the Mizbeach. Now, so the end of the Braisa says over there, so Ketzadaisa, how do you actually do it? How does the process work? Says the Braisa, Mayrudes akravayim lamato umadichin. You bring the intestines down onto the bottom, meaning below the Mizbeach, and you wash it over there. So on that, asked the Gemara, if you tell me the case of our Mishnah that Bryce is elaborating on is talking about, that the oila was pasul, because that's what we just explained according to the one that holds, you don't do Hefshav Nituach on the Reish Mizbech, if it's kosher. So he said, no, it's about pasul. Pasul? Why doing Hefshav Nituach? No, it became pasul after the Zrikas Adam had a Shasa Kosher, it's going like a Belazim Reb Shimon. So if it's talking about, it's a pasul, and you're saying, okay, you'll do the whole process, the procedure of skinning and cutting it up, but how does the Braisa say that you take it down to the bottom? When you take it down, you can't take it back up anymore. So why would you be taking it down? So that the Gemara answers, as the Girsa takes out the next words of Lamali, but Hechanavid, what else should we do? Nakrevinu befarsayu? You think we should sacrifice it with its waste inside of it? Meaning, because we're talking about the intestines of the animal, which gets burnt in the mizbech, when it has all the waste, has all the dung inside of it. You think we should sacrifice like that and not wash it out? But like the pasuk says in Malachi, Hakreveinu lefachasecha, would you bring this near as an offering to your governors? Hayirtzecha ahisavanecha, would he be willing? Would he carry face? Would he be interested in something like that? What do you think we should do? Of course we have to take it down and wash it. What should we do? So Natigma says, no, anan hachir kamina. This is what we were asking. Madicha lamali. Why do we wash it? What's the point? Yeah, of course you have to take it down because you can't sacrifice it with the waste matter. But why wash it? You're not going to be able to bring it back up anyway. So what's the point? Just take it down. Don't wash it. That's an exercise in futility. So the Gemara, no, the reason why we wash it is the imisrami kohen achrin v'loyada, because if another kohen who's going to chance upon this these sacrificial parts, these intestines of an oila, and he's not going to know that it became possible, naskinu, he'll bring it up and then he'll sacrifice it and it will be clean in the sacrificial way because it was already clean. Now the Gemara continues, Amad Bezin asks, what are you talking about? We're going to do something that's going to cause a stumbling block to a kohen to bring up an invalid sacrificial part that already came down, he's not allowed to bring it up. So we're just going to cause a stumbling block when they leave a cleaned out pasla, a murim over here, and that he'll bring up? How can you do that? You're not allowed to do that. It's causing him to stumble, where he's going to be doing a violation of halacha. Says Gemara, you're right. What we meant to say was, afila hachi, even so, meaning even though it might be a stumbling block, adifa shalayu kache shemayim mutalim kenavela, better that we don't have the sanctified elements of a carbon that's just laying there like a dead animal carcass where it has its intestines with the waste matter in there. In other words, in spite of that, we wash it because, yeah, you're right, we're not going to take it back up. And you're right, we're going to do whatever it takes to liquidate that and not go back up. But even though a kohen might stumble, we need to clean it because it's not appropriate to have it part of a carbon with the smelly elements inside of it, and that's why we wash it. But you're right, you take it down because you can't sacrifice. What you could leave up there in the limbs and whatever, you'll burn over there on top. But the intestines, you cannot because it has waste matter in it, you'll bring it down. So why do you wash it? It's so that it shouldn't be just there like a dead animal smelling from the waste matter inside. Now, regarding this halach of Ula that we were discussing up until now, which we had introduced, trying to bring rayas to Ula, so Amar B'chi Bar Abba, he says that actually by Rabbi Yechanan, the teaching of Ula, Rabbi Yechanan had first asked it as a question. He said, "Imur kachim kalim," regarding these sacrificial parts of the lower level carbon, shehelon lefnei zrukas damim, where it was put on top of the mizbeach before the blood was thrown, where it's not really kachim Hashem, it's not really lachmash mizbeach yet. Yerdu or lo yerdu? His question was, do you take it down or do you not take it down? So only Rabbi said to Rabbi Yechanan, says, "V'tibay lach me'ila. Why are you asking if you take it down or not? Why don't you ask if the elevating of putting the murim on the mizbeach will help to establish it that it's like a similar concept that it will have me'ila if someone misappropriates it because it's already considered Hashem's, which similarly it's contingent on the same type of idea." On that, Amalei Rabbi Yechanan said to him, "No, me'ilah kamei b'ayla." I'd never had a question regarding if there will be me'ilah on it, because dizrikahu dekavaluhu b'me'ilah. It's only the throwing of the blood that establishes that now the imurim belong to Hashem, and then it's going to have me'ilah. And since dizrika wasn't done yet, even though it's on top of his be'ach, obviously there's no me'ilah. Kikamei b'ayli, the gears is, lamed yud, as you read them, the whole question was, do you take it down? Because even though there's no me'ilah, then maybe you're going to say that you don't take it down. You would think to say that you do because it's not Kach Hashem yet, it's not Royal Mizbeach, but maybe you don't because, no, ultimately they're going to be here. There's nothing missing in the Imurim. It's just something secondary related to it that you didn't do that the Zrikas Dam. And says the Gemara, Upashat Lo Yerd, and he ended up resolving his question like Ula had said, that you don't take it down because it became already the bread of the Mizbeach. However, Ve'em Ben Me'ilah, like he assumed initially, that there's no Me'ilah because ultimately it wasn't verified for the portion of Hashem yet without the Zrikas Dam. So although there's no me'ilah, but it still is going to have the alachim alu that lo yerdu, you're not going to take it down. Now, however, if Nachma Yitzchak Masni Hachi, he taught this question of Rabbi Yechanan and the ensuing discussion in the opposite version. He quoted that Amr B'chir Barab, the B'chir Barab said to Bayer Rabbi Yechanan, a muri kachim kalam, same case, the sacrificial parts of the carbon shlamim or any other type of kachim kalam, shehelon lefnei zrukas damim, that was put up on top before the blood was thrown. Yesh ben me'ilah oila. Here the question was the other way. He wanted to know, would it have me'ilah or not? You would say maybe it doesn't because the blood wasn't thrown, but maybe you say it does because it's already on the mizbeach. On that, Rabbi Ami said to him, "V'tibayi lechirida." Why are you asking regarding me'ilah? Maybe ask if it should be taken down or not. Adam Ali said to him, no, you read it like Kamibayli. I never had a question. Because the Nasu Lach Mishamizbech, like Ula said, like in the previous version, but here's coming from the opposite direction. No, it's already the bread of Mizbech. Of course you're not going to take it down. Kikimibayli Me'ila. My question was, but does it have Me'ila? On the one hand, the blood wasn't thrown. On the other hand, it's already the Hashem, it's already the Mizbech. You can't take it off anymore. So maybe there's going to be Me'ila. And then he resolved it that lo yeridu, not going to take it down. But ve'im be'mila is not going to be mila because ultimately the blood wasn't thrown yet. Which comes out the same as the first version, but from the other direction, like the teaching of Ula. Now the Mishnah said ve'elu lo hayu psulan l'chulu. Regarding like Reb Shimon had qualified it, things that are psulan b'kodesh are going to be imalu lo yeridu. Things that were not psulan b'kodesh, which the Mishnah goes through a list of things that are intrinsically, even before it comes to the avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, It was sodomized, it was set aside by Avodah Zarah, it was worshipped by Avodah Zarah, Esnan, Mechir, Trefa, Klaim, all these different cases where intrinsically it's not Psulim HaKadosh, there although it's going to be Yerdu. Now regarding the last case about Baal Mum, that it has a blemish, Rabbi Kiva permitted the Baal Mum that there, he said although it's going to be Lo Yerdu. Now on that opinion of Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yechanon, he says, he qualifies as Lehichsher Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva didn't permit every blemished animal that it's going to be Imolu Lo Yerdu. Ela beduk and shabain, like we were explaining up until now, only if the animal has a cataract, has a film in its eye. Why is that mum different? Since such a blemish is actually initially permitted by a bird carbon, because the pasuk says in Vikach Beis, it talks about tamim zacher, it has to be unblemished, has to be male. It mentions it by bakar, ksavim, by the cattle, by the animal carbonus. But that halacha does not apply by bird carbonus, because it says it specifically in the context of the animal carbonus. Now, however, it doesn't mean to say that you could have a bird carbon missing a limb. Because that, the Pasuk of Malachi will apply, you're going to bring such a present to the governor. Every blemish is disgraceful. However, a cataract in the eye is not such an overt thing, and that is not invalidation. That would just be invalidated because of tamus, and you don't have to, it has to be totally unblemished, as long as it's not a missing a limb type of a blemish, that's not a problem by a bird carbon. So, therefore, since it's not a problem at all by a bird carbon, so after the fact, Rabbi Kiva says, by an animal carbon, although it is an invalidation, but it's still going to be, at least in the category of imalu lo yerdu. Now, however, qualifies Rabbi Yechanan, but v'hu she'kadam hektation as mumun. But this is only if the sanctification happened before it got the cataract, where it already had the designation of being Kedushas Mizbech, and only then did it develop a cataract. Then if it went up inappropriately, because you're not supposed to put up a Balmum, then you're going to say Lo Yerdu. But if let's say it had the cataract before it was sanctified, then it never had the ability of the Mizbech saying that it's one of its, because it already had the blemish before it was sanctified, then the Mizbech is not going to be Mekadosh to say Lo Yerdu. And therefore, says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yechanan, Umayd Rabbi Kiva Ba'ilis Nekevos, Rabbi Kiva agrees by a female carbon Ayla, which an Ayla is supposed to be a male carbon, if it went up to the Mizbech, you will take it down, even though, why? Isn't that the same logic that he says by the Dukin Sheba'ayin, where although it's a blemish by the animal, but since it's kosher by birds, so too it's going to be Lo Yerdu? By a bird, there's no invalidation about if it's a female bird or a male bird. So why do you say that if it's a female oila, olu, that it would be yerdu? Because here it's like the case that we just mentioned before, the kishekadam mumma lehekdesha dami. This is like when the blemish was before it was sanctified. Because there's no greater blemish than being a female animal. Female works for chatas, but not for oila. So it's already a problem before you ever sanctified it from when it was born. And therefore, that's not going to help, because even this permissibility of what's permitted by oif at least works for an olo yerdu, that's only like we said if hektation kain lamumun. But if mumun kain hektation, like a female, it's not going to work, and therefore it's going to be yerdu. Now, relating back to this halacha of the Mishnah, the Gemara says, Boyer Birmir. Birmir had the following question. Yesh nirva ba'ifis, oi ein nirva ba'ifis. Is there an invalidation by a bird carbon if the bird was sodomized? So says the Gemara, what's the question? Mi Amar, do we say mina behema? When the pasuk talks about the types of karbanos you're allowed to bring, it says you bring it from the animals. What's from? So the Gemara elsewhere darshins lo hitzias aroiva v'anirva. It goes through min habakar, min hatzai. It says all the mins and excludes other elements from it. So from mina behema, the pasuk is expounded to say that it's excluding if the animal sodomized was the active participant, or v'anirva if it was sodomized, the passive participant. Now, so the question is, do we say, wherever that carbon could sodomize, and it could be sodomized, That's when it has the invalidation. But kalhecha de lesa b'reiva lesa b'nirva, if it cannot sodomize, it cannot have the invalidation of being sodomized. Now, a bird is not able to sodomize because a bird cannot sodomize a woman. It doesn't have that element, physiologically speaking, as a creature. And therefore, maybe we're going to say, so too, although it could be sodomized, it won't have that invalidation. Well, maybe no. Hari nevda by avera. Ultimately, a sin was done with it, and therefore, it's not appropriate to be as a carbon, even though it's only able to be nirva and not a reva. So Amar Rabbi says Tashma. Let's bring a raya from our Mishnah, which we quoted before. Rabbi Kiva machshe bebali mumen. We said in regarding to that whole list of that's not pesulah b'kodesh, the Mishnah said him ola yerdu. But regarding the last item about a blemished animal, there Rabbi Kiva disagreed, and he said that there imolu lo yerdu. Now, on that says the Gemara, the im isa. Now, if the case is true that of the question that we just posed before, that the option would be that a bird that was sodomized is going to be kosher because it cannot be a reveya, so it cannot be a nirva, then nachshir nami, then Rabbi Kiva should have validated to say im olu lo yerdu also by bin nirva, by an animal that was sodomized, that should be im also lo yterid. Why? Since it's even initially valid by bird karbanis, you said that was the svara. Whatever is initially kosher by bird carbon will at least work the same, also like tarried by behema. And you were saying that nirva is not a problem by bird carbon, then you should say they're also alalai tarried, not just by bamum. Shmamenos, so you can infer from there that obviously that a bird carbon is invalidated by being a nirva, even though it cannot be a raiver. Amr Nachmi Yitzchak, he says, we also learned a proof for this halacha that we just said from the following brisa. The brisa talks about that regarding a bird carbon that malika was done in it, which is the appropriate procedure for the bird carbon, but it was a type of a bird carbon that was either hanirva, which was sodomized, which Rashi points out not to be garis haraiva, that sodomized, because we're talking about a bird carbon which we do malika on, and as we said before, a bird cannot be a raiveya. But one thing we see, which is the primary proof from this brisa, is that it says, because it's talking about that all these types of birds carbonas, generally, you need a slaughter. In the kachim, for a bird, you could do malika, and that will validate it. But if it's not a valid carbon, then malika just is making it into a nevela, because it's not a shechita, and it's not malika, because it's not a valid carbon. And one of the carbonists that we're talking about with the bird is hanirva, so you see that being a nirva is an invalidating factor, and therefore the malika is not going to kosher it, and therefore it's going to cause tumma, like we're going to see shortly. And again, that supports that option of saying that the bird does become invalidated as a nirva, even though it cannot be a reva. Because one of the cases is hanirva, if it was sodomized, or vamukta, if it was set aside to be a avodah zara, or vanevet, if it was served as a avodah zara, the esnan umechir, if it was swapped to have relations with a harlot, or to get a dog in exchange, or betumta bandreganis, or if the bird was unidentifiable, either if it's male or female, or if it actually had both signs of male and female. Now, why is that a problem? Didn't we say that there's no halacha of being totally unblemished or being male or female regarding bird karbanis? So that's because this Tana holds that actually Tumta Vandreganis is not doubtful if it's male or female. It's actually its own creature. So therefore, its own creature, that's not eligible at all. Yeah, if it was either female or male and we just don't know, it wouldn't make a difference. In contrast, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees in Masechtas B'chayis Tav Mem Beis Amud Aleph, where at the end of this Braiser, Rabbi Eliezer says that no, wherever it says it has to be male or female, then you can exclude a tumtum andreginus. Tumtum is that you don't know at all. It's not a clear any signs of masculinity or femininity. And andreginus actually has both signs of male and female. But a bird, he says, since it doesn't say to be male or female, so then you cannot exclude a tumtum andreginus. But the time of this brisa holds that is an invalidating factor. So therefore, regarding all these types of bird karbanas, which are, like we said, they're not psulim akadish, they're invalid intrinsically. So therefore, when you do malika, so that's not a valid avodah because they're not valid kabbanas. So kula matamin begodma basically the organ to transmit tumma like a nevela, like a kosher bird that became a nevela in the throat of the person when he's swallowing it. But again, we're seeing that's like a nevela. Why? What's wrong with the nirva? Isn't that a regular kosher carbon? Shmamino, we could infer again, like we said, because nirva is an invalidating feature, not just by an animal carbon, but also by bird carbon. Even though it cannot be a reveya, it's still going to be the psul of a nirva. Now the Mishnah continued and said, Rabbi Chanina Sigana Kahanim Chulu, the Rabbi Chanina, the attendant of the Kahanim, he said that my father, in contrast to what Rabbi Kiva had just said, in arguing with the Tanna Kama, that my father, when he had a balmum, which is referring obviously even to that case of the cataract in the eye, he would turn it away, he would say, Im Olu is still going to be Yerdu. Not like Rabbi Kiva wanted to say, Im Olu Yerdu. So the Gemara says, "My Kamash Mulan, what is Rabbi Chanina's Kanakam teaching us? The Tanakam already also said, not like Rabbi Kiva, that Yerdu. What's he teaching by saying that his father said Yerdu?" So it says the Gemara, "Iba Yisema Maisa Kamash Mulan." Either he's telling us that in practice it was, because there's a big difference about saying an opinion and in practice. And he was saying, in practice, my father actually did that. And Viba Yisema, or if you want, you could say, "My Deicha," what did he mean when he said that his father turned it away? It means Kalach or Yad, in a backhanded way, meaning he didn't outright reject it and say, off the Mizbeach. Because that would be disgraceful if he did it out there in a pompous way. Rather, he would do it in an indirect way, and that's what he's teaching. Although we're going to say Yerdu, but not in a full direct way, do it in a backhanded way, so that it doesn't disgrace the carbon that came up, that you have to take it down. Now the Mishnah said, continuing on this halacha, that Kishem Shem Allah v'chu, just like the halacha is, although these carbonas are pasul, but if it went up, you don't take it down. So too said the Mishnah, etc., that if it went down, although you don't have to, but if it did go down, then you're not going to bring it back up. Now, on that, Amar Uli qualifies this halacha, and he says, "Loi shanu, we didn't learn this halacha that this carbon that was pasul went up, don't have to go down. But if it was brought down, you don't take it back up. That was only said ela shalei moshel ben or. That means it was only on the top of the mizbech, but the fires of the mizbech yet didn't take a hold of it yet. Avol moshel ben or. But if the fires of the mizbech took a hold of that limb or that amorim, whatever it is that was put on top of the mizbech, even a minute amount, then yalu." Then even if it went down, you will bring it back up. Because it already became lach mishal mizbeach of the fire, and therefore, even though it was brought back down, and it's possible, you will bring it back up to continue having it totally consumed on mizbeach. So the Gemara tells us that actually Rav Mari Masni, he taught this halacha of Ula, like we just said, Aresha, on the first halacha of the Mishnah, meaning on when we say Aresha, meaning on our Mishnah, which was going on this halacha of these psulin that were olu, then were yerdu, that the Mishnah said, lo yalu, don't bring it back up. But that's what Ula qualified, but it was mashal ben or, you will take it back up. However, Rav Chanina Mesura Masnei HaSeifa, he taught Ula's halacha on the end of our Mishnah, meaning the next Mishnah that we're going to quote shortly. That's what's called Reish and Seifa. Sometimes the Mishnayis are from one long Mishnah that's cut up as the Gemara quotes it. So he learns Ula's halacha on the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ha'atzamais v'hagidin, the bones and the sinews, v'akarnayim, v'atlafayim, and the horns and the hooves, that these are not the primary things that are supposed to be sacrificed on Mizbech. So the Mishnah says, Bizman shem mechubaru en yalu. If they're still attached to the meat of the carbon, so then you'll bring it up and you'll burn it on the fires. But perishu, if they already were separated from the meat before they were brought up, then lo yalu, you're not going to bring it up. And there is the same halacha, that if they went up, it's going to come down. As the Gemara says later on, the next daf in the price, according to Rebbe, who the Gemara says our Mishnah is going like, that just like we say, you don't bring it up. If it went up, you're still going to take it down if it's separated because it doesn't belong there. It's not. It's, if it's connected, so it's secondary to the meat, fine. But if it's separated, then you don't take it up. And if you take it up, you'll take it down. And that is what he quotes. Ama'ula, that loishana, we didn't say that you take it down. Elishle moshle ben or, only if the fire didn't take a hold of it yet. Avol moshle ben or yalu. But if the fire took a hold of it, then you will bring it up. So although it's separated, but if the fire already took a hold of it, then you'll put it back up. So on that, the Gemara explains, Man de Masnei HaSeifa, the second version who learns Ula's Halacha on the end, meaning on the next Mishnah, so Koshken HaReisha, for sure they would learn it regarding our Mishnah, regarding the limbs or the sacrificial parts, which intrinsically, those are things that are generally sacrificed on Mizbech if they don't become invalidated. Now, here, although we said that they're invalidated, so you say, you're not allowed to put it up, but if you did, you don't take it down. But then we said, if you take it down, you're not going to bring it back up. But since the fire took a hold of it, so it will sanctify it, even though it's invalidated, and even though it went down, you'll bring it back up. But Amad Damasnei Aresha, the first version that taught Ula's Halacha on our Mishnah, Avala Seifa, he would say on the end, meaning on the next Mishnah regarding the bones and the sinews, that no, lab b'nei haktar ninu. Those are not things that are burnt on the Mizbech. Like the Gemara is going to quote later on from the Pasuk v'asisoi l'secha abas v'adam. What do you do from your oila on the Mizbech? Is the meat and the blood. But all the other things like the hooves and the horns, all those things, it doesn't even apply to say the concept of mashla ben or likad shinu. It can't be that it took a hold of it. It doesn't belong there at all. A regular carbon that belongs there, but it became possible, you could say, okay, the Mizbech already took a hold of it. That would be in our Mishnah. But regarding the next Mishnah, they would hold that, no, there, Ula's Halacha does not apply. Even if the fire took a hold of it, still doesn't belong there. You would still say Yerd, you would still say you take it back down. Now, as we quoted before, the next Mishnah continues on the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding things that even if it went up, it's going to be taken down. but different than the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah, we were talking about things that are appropriate for the Mizbeach, but like we said, there were psulim that were not even Bakaydish, that were so problematic, that they were already problematic even before they were sanctified or before they came into the Azor to do the Avodah. So then we said, you're going to take it down. This Mishnah quotes, Ve'iluim olu yerdu, that if you take it up, you'll still take it down, is a Chiddush that even though they're not even possible, they're kosher, but just they don't belong on the Mizbeach at all. What are these cases? Basar kachi kachim, let's say the meat of kachi kachim. It doesn't belong, you don't burn it on the Mizbeach. It's eaten by the Kahanim. Or basar kachim kam, the meat of a lower level karbon, that's where it's eaten by the Kahanim, by the owners. So even if you put it on the Mizbeach, you'll still take it down. It doesn't belong there. Or maisar oimer, the leftover of the oimer offering, where again, although the part of it is sacrificed, but the rest of it is eaten by the Kahanim, so it doesn't belong there. Or shtei alechem, the two breads on shvuas that are brought as a carbon, where they're eaten by the Kahanim. V'lechem aponim, the showbreads that are every Shabbos, the 12 breads, they're eaten by the Kahanim. V'shiyar menachas, the leftovers of any flour offering, which although a kaimitz is burned in the mizbeach, but the rest doesn't belong there, it's eaten by the Kahanim. V'akteris, and so too, the incense, where if let's say instead of putting on the inner altar, it was put on the outer altar, it doesn't belong there. So even if it was put up over there, you're going to take it down. Now, continues the Mishnah, Hatzemer Shebarashi Kevasim, the wool on the head of the sheep, of the lambs, which this is starting a new halacha. It's together with the next category that we spoke about just before regarding the bones and the sinews. The halacha of the head of the lamb of an oila, the Mishnah is telling us that the wool will have the same halacha as the head, meaning the head is unique, that it's unlike the rest of the carbon oila. A carbon oila generally is skinned and cut into pieces. The head is not skinned. And actually, the head is sacrificed on the Mizbeach with the skin, as the Gemara says in Masech Teschulin, on the second parak of Zayin Amid Aleph, that I would only know that the parts of the carbon oila that are cut up, that those are things that are skin, those are things that are going to be burnt on the Mizbeach. How do I know to include the head, where it was already cut off from the rest of the body when you slaughtered, that even though it's not skin, you're still going to sacrifice on the Mizbeach? So the Gemara there brings a pasuk to show that even the head is sacrificed on the Mizbeach. So that the Mishnah is discussing regarding this head that you keep the skin on, and there's wool on the top of the head near the back of the neck, what's the halacha with that wool? So too, similarly, v'sar shebezakin tiyashim, the hair on the beard of the he-goats, which by a carbon oila, which are he-goats, vats, or could be he-goats, vatsamas, vagidim, and the bones, and the sinews, and this is regarding all types of karbanas, vakranayim, vatlafayim, and the horns, and the hooves. What's the halacha with these things? Says the Mishnah, bizman shehim mechubar mialu. If they're attached to the meat, which is going to be burnt in the Mizbeach, then you bring it up, and it's going to be burnt with all the limbs, all the parts of the carbon oila. Like it says in the pasuk Miyuk, it says v'hikdra koin esakol. This koin sacrifices it all. All the oil is going to be burnt. But pirshulo yalav is already separated. Then it's not going to go up with the limbs of the carbon oil to be sacrificed in the mizbeach. Shnei like the pasuk says in the varm v'sisa ilasecha basav adam. What do you do with your carbon oil? Is the meat and the blood. This that are not meat or blood, then you don't bring it up. As the Gemara explains in the Brisa, turn about in the Brisa. On the one hand, the pasuk says v'hikdra koin esakol mizbeach. The koin sacrifices all of the oil on the mizbeach. The rabbis, what that comes to include is atzamas, vagidim, even the bones and the sinews, vakranayim, vatlafayim, the horns and the hooves. Now, says the Braisa, Yachla filipirsha, you'd think the same halach applies, even though it was separated before it was taken up. Tamalemin, no, that's what the pasuk teaches. Vasisa ilasecha basav adam. You make the oil what? What's sacrificed? The meat and the blood. Now, I basav adam. So if it only had this pasuk that tells us the meat and the blood, as we contain type of pevav and aleph, so yachl yachlitz, you would think that it's incumbent a mitzvah upon the person that's bringing the carbon oila that he should separate gidim batzameis, the sinews and the bones, because v'yala basar legab mizbeach, and then only bring up the meat, because it says habasar v'adam, and don't have these things, take them off. Tamalema, that's what the pasuk teaches. No, v'hikta ha-koin asakel, says the koin sacrifices it all. So haketzad, how do you have it? Is it everything, or is it only the meat and the blood? So says the Braisa, Mechubar and Yalu. That's how you resolve the two psukim. If they're still attached, then you take it up. Pirshu, if we're separated, then Afilahein Bereshim Mizbech. Then even if it's on the top of the Mizbech, like we said, then Yerdu, then you'll take it down. And that's what we said regarding those who quote Ulas Halacha on this teaching of the Mishnah, that if it was Mashle Ben Or, that's what was Machlik, is does Ulas say it here or not, then, okay, then you're not going to take it down, because already it took possession of it. Whereas we said that the one who holds it on our Mishnah holds that no, even if it took possession of it, like we said, even if it's the top of Mizbeach, you're going to take it down because it just doesn't belong here at all. It has no relevancy whatsoever. If it's connected, then fine. It's secondary, then you'll sacrifice it. But if it was detached, even on top of Mizbeach, then you're going to take it down.